Want to try a free sample?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
You only eat after you're walking 10,000 steps.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Hey, Central Ohio. The Nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the Nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh. On the
radio. 30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
I'm pretty so Fantasy Fest, when you don't see it, it'll because I've put on some skin flesh, but it might even look worse. We'll see. Maybe, you know, maybe I'll just put like a big clown nose on so people don't look at it. That's what I'll do. That'll make a little bit more sense. So down the rabbit hole, as you and I usually go, bold predictions. That's actually where we're going here. There's a ton of news, a ton of stuff out there. But we got bold predictions coming up. We do want to remind you guys that this episode is also brought to you by Fantrax. This is cool. Fantrax right now is wanting to hook you guys up with their game day experience. And I don't know if you guys have paid attention to this. They are going to send not you, but your league to any MLB game this season. And they're going to give you a G. They're going to give you a G to go along with it for travel, accommodations, and all that stuff. And there has literally never been a contest easier to sign up for. Here's what you do. Go to Fantrax.com/inthisleague. Create a new league. Join a league, or move your league over from another place for free on them using Fantrax.com/inthisleague. You are automatically entered. If you already have leagues on Fantrax, guess what? You're automatically entered. Every single league you have going on is a new entry. So you can start new leagues, join new ones. All of them hook you up. Just go to Fantrax.com/inthisleague and win the game day experience. Why don't you do it? And then also pretend Bogman and I are in your league. You know what? If you win and you bring Bogman and I, we will join your league next year. Everybody always does that on tweets. They're like, hey, would you guys be interested in joining a league? And it's like, in theory, we would, except we're in 400 of them. So no, if you win and you bring Bogman and I along on the game, and then you also give us the money and then pay the things, then we will join your league next year. Give us a grand.
Yeah.
Give us some money. Give us some money. Hold you hostage. No.
Just tell us where you are when you have the money.
Have the game come to.
Don't be anybody else there. No cops. Just hang out and we'll come and join your league.
It's unmarked dollar bills. And have us come and we will join your league if you win and you win it from ITL. That'll be awesome. But Fantrax.com/inthisleague. Give me the money and we'll do that. Support them. Check out the link. They're supporting us. Fantrax.com/inthisleague. All right. Bold predictions. It's not something Bogman and I are not the most clickbaity. We actually, you know what? We might be the least clickbaity of all people. Everyone's a writer though. So articles in general are kind of built around like clickbaity and stuff like that. You and I don't do a ton of those where everyone's like, hey, here's the most, I mean, stuff, you know, that I do in other places. Like we'll do, here's a breakdown of all the leagues and their draft formats. You know, here's our ranks analysis. Now we're doing analytics. Like we will go deeper and do crazier things that probably don't earn us the good clickbaity stuff. But who doesn't love a good clickbait here? And that's what we're going to do with bold predictions. Technically 15 from each of us, 5 on the positive, 5 on the negative, and 5 on the deep. Who will win? Let's see. Bold predictions right after this.
In this league.
Somebody royally forked up. Somebody forked up. Why can't I say fork?
If you're trying to curse, you can't hear.
Full shirt.
Holy mother forking shirt balls.
How bold can you go? We love hearing all your bold predictions. Our boy Barry Baker, because we were doing the Prospect Bold Predictions over on Prospect One, two of them, two episodes if you guys want to go check it out. Prospect Bold Prediction with tons of guests. And Barry will run the prospect side of it in our GroupMe rooms, which hopefully you guys want to check us out at InThisLeague.com, where you guys can get our ranks, my ranks, redraft, prospect, all the stuff in here. You can get in the GroupMe rooms to hang out with us, support us throughout the year. The live streams are coming back, and we kind of directly communicate with Patreon for that. So come and check us out today. Support your boys. Little as $5 gets you the rank. $10 gets you in on the GroupMe rooms and a whole bunch of other cool stuff. So hopefully you check it out. But Barry does like the prospect ones in the GroupMe rooms and is, you know, all the prospect bold predictions. I kind of dig seeing people's bold predictions. So you guys are welcome to do it. I might even make a post on Patreon, as a matter of fact, maybe
fun
next week to kind of take a look, or even the next episode to kind of retake and see what people have, because some of you guys nail them. But, you know, how big and bold do you go on the bold predictions? Like sometimes I feel like I want to take big, crazy swings for these type of episodes. But at the end of the day, I want to root them in the facts of what I'm building around a lot of my analysis. My analysis is probably more robust than it's been in any single season, because this is literally all I've been doing for the last 6 months. I mean, this has been my life. Yeah. So hopefully it's better. It's going to really be lame if Lars Nootbaar stinks and Corbin Carroll is a loser and all those type of stuff.
You're not going to hit all of them. One of your favorite.
No, you're not going to hit them all, but you just want to hit some of the important ones. But that's why, like, I kind of want to ground. I want to ground most of these in a lot of my stuff. So it's like, will they be crazy or not? I don't know. But at the end of the day, these are meant to be bold predictions. It's not to be like, well, I think Corbin Carroll will hit 13 homers and have 20 stolen bases and blah blah blah. It's like, no, we're gonna go.
We're not doing projections. These are bold predictions.
Yeah. So yeah, exactly. So these are bold predictions. So like I said, we've got 5 positive bold predictions. We've got 5 negative bold predictions, and then we've got 5 deep bold predictions.
Which one was the hardest for you? Because honestly, the negative was the hardest for me, yeah. And I feel like I'm pretty negative.
No, that's a really good one. You know what? I also feel like you're really good at finding negativity in players and picking out the nits, picking the nits, if you will. But I 100% agree, dude. I think I blew through the deep bold predictions. I absolutely blew through those. My 5 major bold predictions, I kind of waffled around a little bit. I mean, I'm looking at them right now, and if you guys can't piece together at least 3 of the 5, then I don't know if you know me. Though I know, I'm gonna spoil everything right now. If you think I have Byron Buxton on any of mine, you're wrong. I'm not doing that this year. But you'll probably be able to guess some of those. You'll be able to guess a few of the negatives as well if you've really followed a lot of this stuff. But yeah, the negatives were really, really difficult. And I think that's just in general because you and I are not like...
Hey, Central Ohio. The Nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the Nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You want to punch me right now, but you won't.
Why don't you punch me in the face? Punch me in the face! Hey, Derek, you know what's always good for shoulder pain?
What?
If you lick my...
In this league.
You and I are more even-keel fantasy analysts, where I think there's very... I'm not trying to say everyone's hot takey, but there's a lot of people that are like, no, this guy is done. You don't draft him. These are the only players you draft. Like, you and I don't really necessarily swim in those waters. We're kind of that's relative to the land.
Not just fantasy. It's everything. It's got to be black or white now. There's no gray area, and we are very much living in the gray area.
So. Oh, that's a very good point. Yeah, that also is very representative of like our personalities. Like, we're just not like, you know, we're not beholden to one thing, or we're not offended, and like all that type of stuff. Yeah.
Well, also like, you know, people are like, oh, well, you weren't on this guy last year and now he had a good year. Why are you in on him? Okay, well, he got better, in my opinion, changed. Yeah. Like, things that's changed. You're allowed to change your opinion, not to be strung up because you had a different opinion last year. You are allowed to change it and get on a bandwagon the next off season. So,
well, some of those things also can happen during the season. You know, I've seen a couple of people that were like, you know, well, I did all of my analysis, you know, in November and December, and this is what it is. And it's like, that doesn't happen for me. Like, yes, I do like October, November is a lot of the baseline analysis, but I want to evolve through the whole thing. And I've had guys that I've either been indifferent about, like one of the bold predictions was actually someone I was probably a bit more negative in December and January that I've turned positive on. And the just kind of the same thing, like I, in one of my negatives is a guy that it was a little bit indifferent about, semi-positive, that I've just kind of turned on as the time goes on. And I think that's how you should be. You should be in the same token of like where you and I are like, these guys are nevers. Like, there are points where you have to build your roster construction and you might need to dip in and you might get values if everybody's turning on a player and it's worth taking a shot. You don't want to always take shots also, because then if they don't work out and they are fails, then you're going to really struggle. But
do a 16 man NL or AL only and tell me that someone's not on your list at any point. Like, good point. I mean, come on. You know, you have to kind of expand your horizons. But yes, your opinion is allowed to change mid-season on guys. And it's the old scouting trope goes, it's like, if a guy is hitting well and then he hits well in spring training, you don't raise him because he's hitting well in spring training, right? You don't count it twice. If a guy all of a sudden out of nowhere who never steals starts stealing, you go, all right, maybe there's something here. You know, if a guy starts hitting for power who never hit for power, all right, maybe there's something here. If a guy like Jordan Walker, you didn't expect to get a real chance, gets a real chance, your opinion is allowed to change. So yes, we will adjust as things happen.
Though I will tell you, this episode, if it were being posted on YouTube, would probably have an amazing comment section, an amazingly mean comment section of hate filled through all this. So here's one thing I'm going to present to you, Boggs. Do you want to do the order that we wrote them down, or do you want to start on the deep, bold predictions and work our way up to the positive? What would you
like just think do? That we should switch off. You do one, I do one. That's all. I don't care where we start.
Okay. Let's save the five. Let's start with the deep. Bold predictions. Okay. Five deep bold predictions. These are probably I rooted mine in positive stuff. The one negative one we did, it's its own entity, but these are five deep bold predictions. I'm gonna let you go first. So
You need to go first because that's the right order for my thing. So
okay, cool. The deep bold predictions were rooted essentially in post 200 guys. Might not be perfect, but my rule and how I was approaching this was essentially guys that have a post 200 ADP, bold predictions attached to those guys. So when you're looking at deeper leagues, and my number one bold prediction for the deep is Brandon Pfaadt is back up with the Diamondbacks in May, and he finishes top three in Rookie of the Year voting.
Let's go.
I could have gone bolder. I feel like that's kind of bold. The maybe up in May thing isn't going to be bold, but what I'm saying is he will be the number one pitching prospect in the NL. And there's only two hitters that are going to hit in front of him. And I think it's hard pressed to say that any pitcher is going to fare higher than Jordan Walker or Corbin Carroll. But I'm also saying in that same token that technically Kodai Senga, I think, qualifies as a Rookie of the Year candidate. So I'm saying top three Rookie of the Year voting. He's going to push 150 innings with the Arizona Diamondbacks. And I think he might even push that 200 strikeout marker. This is how big I think of him. I don't care that he got sent down. Ryan Nelson, Dre Jameson, Kyle Davies. Me and Eno went crazy on like Davies and Davies. Bumgarner. What'd I say?
Kyle Davies.
Yeah. Who's Kyle Davies?
I don't know. Probably a NASCAR driver.
Okay. Yeah. Zach Davies and Bumgarner. Like Bumgarner's like relative value is like 0.1 as far as like war goes and his value. Like they can't keep him there. He will be up.
Kyle Davies pitched from 2005 to 2015.
Really? Who was Kyle Davies? Was he with the Brewers?
Royals? He was with the Royals. Yeah.
Okay.
Ooh, Atlanta, the Royals, and the Yankees. Yeah, like I vaguely remember him. So I put it, he had 183 innings in 2010. So, but that was before we even started the podcast. So
my brain
that was
weird
in the channel cast days.
Oh, those were channel casted. Those were actually, you know what that year was? Those were the off base. If I don't know, I feel like someone has that now. But in 2015, we had a podcast called the Off Base Podcast, baseball podcast. Off Base. It was just a comedy baseball show. Oh yeah, no. We're not going into any of that.
Yeah.
Well, that show doesn't even exist anymore. It's not even out there anymore. Thank God. Thank God any of them do. But Brandon Pfaadt, not Zach or Kyle Davies. Brandon Pfaadt, top three rookie of the year voting at the end of the season. And, you know, if you want to go into it, he's the second highest valuable fantasy pitcher on the Arizona Diamondbacks. That's my big, deep, bold prediction. No shocker with a Diamondback there for me. All right, your first one.
I'm going to go with the same thing that you said, except let's do it for Vaughn Grissom, and he won't qualify for rookie of the year. So didn't he just pass the rookie qualifications last year or whatever?
Yeah, he doesn't. Yeah, he can't be rookie of the year this year because he's no longer rookie eligible.
I double checked. And I went and looked at all the NL Rookie of the Year odds. And I'm like, okay, well, he's not in here even at the plus 10,000. Like, he's just not eligible.
He'd be the greatest bet of all time. Yeah, sure.
Right, exactly. So, you know, I just, with him crushing spring, Orlando Arcia is going to get so frustrating so fast. I think he'll be up fairly quickly, back in this lineup and doing his thing. So I'm, you know, in a deeper league where I can afford to you know, sit on a bench player for a little bit, Vaughn Grissom, I will be scooping up in some spots. I think he'll be up pretty quickly.
You know, that's interesting, too, because the one thing we didn't discuss with him was, you know, he was going 172 on NFBC over the last couple of days. That's going to plummet, and he's going to plummet out.
That's the only guy in here that I checked and wasn't below 200, but he will be.
Well, but I mean, below 300. I'm not disqualifying it because he's going to not be drafted in most spots. But he was being, and we didn't really talk about like the replacement of just another middle infield guy. All right. So Vaughn Grissom does what I say with Brandon Pfaadt, and you say he's at the top. All right. My number two, Reed Detmers, who I've really turned on a positive for, outperforms Tristan McKenzie and becomes a top 20 starting pitcher in fantasy this season. He's upticked the slider, which has almost become a power slider. He's upticked the fastball. He's definitely that curveball too. I love a really good pitch mixer. And I love the command. I'm hopeful that the Angels are going to be better so we can see Ohtani and Trout into the playoffs. But Reed Detmers looks like he is ready to take that next big step and possibly be the number one starting pitcher on the Angels, which doesn't really necessarily say a whole bunch. Not Ohtani. I'm sorry. True starting pitcher. Ohtani. I should have phrased that
better than Sandoval.
Either way, Reed Detmers better than Tristan McKenzie in 2023 and is a top 20 SP. And he's going outside the top 200 or one. Maybe it's like 191 or something.
Are you picking McKenzie because I like him or because he's like SP 20 on all of the stuff?
No, you know, I actually didn't count it. That would have probably been better if I would have actually counted the starting pitchers on like NFBC, but I was kind of looking at his range where he was like 81, you know, and there's a big fall off on NFBC from McKenzie. It kind of goes down to like, there's Musgrove and Ray.
So McKenzie was just the last guy of the NFBC tier.
It was just one that I looked at and I was like, I think Reed Detmers is going to outperform him this year. And then I threw on SP 20. One of those might be higher than the other, by the way. So we'll see how they line out. It might be he's an SP 20 and McKenzie also is just so much worse. It could be a part of that as well. So that's my number two bold prediction.
This one you already mentioned. And I'm going to, you know, this was in my thing way before, but Gabriel Moreno, Wally Pipps, Carson Kelly as the main catcher for the Diamondbacks all year long. So bye-bye, Carson Kelly. We need that good first month for Moreno. Let's go. Let's get it and get Carson Kelly on out of here to the bench. Thank you.
Okay, give me this. Give me a stat line for Gabriel Moreno.
Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Give me a bold prediction on the stat line where he Wally pips him, because defensively, I think.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Can't believe what fell. All your dreams missed. Pops down the drain. Let's play some
in this league.
Like Carson Kelly's just better, so it would have to come offensively. His projections through 89 games on the Bat X was only 5 homers, 3 stolen bases, but a .274 batting average. For this coming season, give me a bold prediction on the stat line where he not only Wally pips him, but what do you think he does?
15, 10, 275.
That's pretty good. If he went 10, 20, I mean, you've just replaced Dalton Varsho with just a better batting average and a little bit of power suppression. Don't think he's going to get there. The guy did have, I would point this out, he did have from 2018 to 2021. He supported a 200-plus ISO at every level but one in rookie ball, and then it just came back down, and he started to hit the ball in the air a little bit more. I could see that coming back up in Chase, and I'm really hopeful that it does. So the Wally Pip of Gabriel Moreno. My number 3 of the deep, bold predictions is Zeke. Ezekiel Tovar goes 20-20 and outperforms Carlos Correa in fantasy this season. A little bit about Carlos Correa's fantasy value being a little eh, but also about Ezekiel Tovar, who is hitting lower in the lineup. And I'm being bold here because what I probably truthfully believe is like he's at best a 15-15 guy. I think he can push 20-20. Colorado is such an extra benefit. Most projection systems see him around being like a 13-16 guy, but that's in like 120 games. So 20-20 is not too crazy. And if he hits successfully early on, he's going to be moved up the lineup, and he could
Blackman's already like
team.
Banged up. So they could drop, Chris Bryant down to 3, put Tovar at 2 or 1 and drop Profar down one spot too. So yeah, I like this one. And there's another one on your list that upset me because I was going to have it, but
oh, really?
I like this one a lot too. Yeah. Yeah. That last one, I think yeah.
And Tovar is one of those guys I'm really trying to target in leagues as well. When, I've talked about, like the top end of shortstop is great. And then where everybody thinks it's deep, I kind of don't like some of those names. I really like Willie Adames, and I don't like a ton of those guys. It's like Franco and Adames. And then there's another tier gap. And then I really want to pay attention to Tovar. So in deeper leagues, if I miss, or even if I'm going for that middle infield, I really want to start targeting Ezekiel Tovar. And I think a big season is afoot, especially with Colorado behind him. So that is my third bold prediction. Bogman, your third deep bold prediction is?
My next couple are kind of mean, but
you're gonna be mean.
I like some mean ones. I think every once in a while.
I just saw the mean one.
In a rivalry. How about no one on the Giants hits 25 home runs, and the only two hitters that are going inside the top 200 are Estrada and Haniger, and it's like Estrada at 160 and Haniger at 197. So
how many hit 25 last year?
One. Jock Peterson was the only one that did it last year.
Okay. So, okay. Yeah. 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 So no Giants. All right,
zero
so
Giants hitting 25 homers. Yeah. And Bubba, two of our best friends in the industry. But come on, they're Giants fans. Well, what do you want from me? So, yeah, I mean, it's just the longer you look at the Giants lineup, the more depressing it gets, I feel like.
I think that's actually a bold prediction when they have Mitch Haniger and Michael Conforto out there. That's actually, and Jock Peterson like that.
Get hurt. Yeah. Jock is the only threat to me. I just expect Haniger and Conforto to spend time on the IL, so I don't think they'll get there because of that. And then it's just Jock. Jock is the only one. Less games in Colorado now, too. So
this one, my number 4 on the deep bold predictions, might be one of the riskiest ones that I put out there because there is definitely the susceptibility of spring training. But this guy has put himself in a position that it's like, what else can you do? A lot of people have talked about Jared Kelnick, who I'm going to talk about. Jared Kelnick, I've talked about how he's just doing things off of fastballs, but my counter has been like, you have to do the right things to get yourselves in those positions to hit those balls. But he's lowered the strikeout rate. The average has gone up. He got a little bit banged up, but he has done nothing but hit and make all the proper changes. I believe working with some driveline and working with anybody, but his not same crew this year, that the bold prediction is Jared Kelnick is back. And I guess it's a little arbitrary. I use this. Jared Kelnick is going to complete what he told me he wanted to do when I interviewed him in 2019. 2020 season in the majors is what he wanted to do, and he's going to complete it this year. Jared Kelnick is back. Would that even qualify him as like comeback player of the year? You can't get comeback player of the year when you just stink for a
month. Oh, yeah, you can. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. I think you'd have to do better than 2020 to win comeback player of the year. But yeah, I mean, if
I mean, there's only a handful of guys over 2020.
Okay, but Jacob DeGrom, you know, someone who plays the whole year, you know, if Buxton made it wire to wire, if Stanton made it wire to wire, like, you know.
Buxton wouldn't get a comeback player of the year, but DeGrom definitely would be eligible for that. We'll talk about him a little bit later. So that's my number four is Jared Kelnick is back. LOL, LOL, LOL. You're number four.
How about this one? Because it pairs with your Jared Kelnick one. This is the whole reason why you had to go first. AJ Pollock gets released before the All-Star break? Well, he's on a 1-year deal, right? Okay. Why don't you tell me what he's hitting in spring training? I mean, you rattled off. You had, what's his name's number? 371. You had that rattled.
I've had some ones that were on my mind. AJ Pollock has not been on my mind. I'm going to take a stab at, it's going to be in the ones, 187. 187.
176 is what he's hitting. So far this year, he is 6-for-34. He has one walk and 10 strikeouts. Bogman. And this guy is supposed to be the DH. This is supposed to be the DH of this team.
You're telling me.
You're offering nothing in the field.
This guy right here on my Instagram with the famous Welsh is not making that team?
I don't think. Well, I mean, he might make the team, but I'm saying he's released before the All-Star.
Oh, yeah. He's not going to make the team for the
whole
year.
If he's ineffective, if he's that ineffective, he will be cut. What reason do they have to keep him?
Well, Jared Kelnick,
they have a million outfielders, right?
No, he makes him expendable. The Teoscar, if Kelnick is there, and obviously Julio does give them a little bit more expendable overall. It's just, I don't know where all the other pieces would come from, but
I mean, Cole Calhoun is crushing it right now. And he's a non-roster invitee. They have Leonis Martin, Lino DeShields. Like, AJ Pollock is not the only option. If there are other, well, whatever.
DeShields is why he's
on the roster. I mean, is he in spring training? I don't even know if he's in spring training. But,
yeah, he literally got signed like 2 days ago.
Okay. Well, yeah. You know why he got signed?
Because AJ Pollock's getting released.
176. Yeah. So I know. So I think Cole Calhoun could take a spot before the season starts, but I thought that was a little too bold. I think Pollock has enough of a track record to deserve a spot on the roster over Cole Calhoun, even with a bad spring. But if he ain't hitting that first month, going to get waiver time. So bye-bye, AJ.
Ooh, okay. My final of the deep bold predictions. Yankees' Anthony Volpe breaks camp with the team and wins AL Rookie of the Year. That is one of my big bold predictions. So much so, I'm going to tell people, about 5 days ago, I did a futures bet on Masataka Yoshida, because I'm very impressed with him, and he is not the favorite there. Gunnar Henderson is a favorite. He's at like plus 600. When I dug into this, I also placed a bet to hedge my bets a little bit, and I put the bet in. So I have a bet on Yoshida and Volpe just to back it up that I think he breaks camp and Anthony Volpe wins AL Rookie of the Year in the biggest city, the biggest spotlight. He's going to be given the runway, especially if they break him at camp or even a little bit early. This isn't, obviously, the break camp is part of the bold prediction, but even if he doesn't, he's up early enough. They have to make roster spot for him, and he's not coming off anytime soon. Peraza has not had, I believe, the best spring, and really everyone's tired of waiting. And I think Volpe is perfectly in line for this. So that is my final of the deep bold predictions, that he is the prospect that we're all talking about that no one really thought was going to break, and he ends up winning AL Rookie of the Year.
I'm just going to copy you, but go a little bit more out there. How about Tristan Casas scores 100 runs hitting the leadoff spot from Boston and wins Rookie of the Year? How about that?
That's a big one.
That's an outstanding lineup behind Casas. If he really is leading off against at least righties, and by the way, he is crushing in spring. He's hitting .341. He's got two homers. He scored 9 runs, which I believe leads the team. Yeah, leads the team. Him and Bobby Dalbec both, and those are the guys that are supposed to split that spot, right?
Bobby.
So,
well, Bobby's been playing Dalbec. Shortstop, by the way.
I mean, he's been playing everywhere, right?
Oh, hilarious!
Second
in
outfield and all that stuff. So
Chad's so happy.
Yeah, you got to mention on the show for real. So, yeah, I love Casas in this spot. You know, obviously more of a power guy, but if he is rolling in that spot, that is a great spot to be in behind, you know, Devers and Yoshida and all and Turner and all those guys. I mean, great spot to be in the lineup, and he could easily score 100 if he put not if he's platooning the whole year, but I think if he starts hot, they'll just give him the spot. So,
well, also, I mean, if he scores those 100 runs, what is that going to do to Yoshida's RBI numbers too?
I think
Yoshida's RBI numbers will be up there. So bottom line is you and I are saying that the AL Rookie of the Year is coming out of the East.
The AL East. Yeah,
so that's what it looks like. That's a bad. That is your boldest of all of them, too. By the way, like if we were to look real quick, a lot of yours. Yeah. That's probably my favorite of all the really big bold ones you put together. What's your favorite of mine?
The one where did you say Pollock got released or was that?
No, that was you.
Then I like the Volpe one. I like the Tovar one too. I think Tovar is solid. So I like both those.
Let's get negative. Let's talk nasty about some guys. 5 negative bold predictions for the season. And how about Bogman? You go first because you are Mr. Grinch.
Sure. Byron Buxton plays fewer than 100 games again. I mean,
is that bold? Are you being bold when you say that?
I'm just being mean, but also, why does every projection system have him playing 100 games? Never going to do it again. So I don't know what the point is. So
yeah, like he hasn't played 100 games since 2017. You're not being bold. Get bolder, Bogman.
Okay, he plays 85 games. Is that good enough for you?
That's okay.
How about 80? Right. He plays at least less than half the season. 80 games for Byron Buxton.
Okay, 80 games. I'll chicken you 180. I'll take 81.
Okay, you win.
Okay. Well, I'll play it. Well, that'll be the bet. All right. So Byron Buxton, 80 games. Here's the question.
We'll put that on the chicken for real.
Try a free sample of berry pie.
Oh yeah, I do. Wait. Will this send me spiraling out of my routine?
Time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your metabolism. Drink butter coffee instead to kill cravings.
What? Is it really that bad?
I had protein this morning, right?
Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again?
Fruit ruins
never
insulin
eat after 7 p.m.
One cheat day.
Cut carbs by
30 days. Stop it!
They don't know your body, only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at signos.com. That's SIGNOS.com with code SPARK. Signos.
Hey, Central Ohio. The Nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. CODA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist CODA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the Nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at CODA.com. That's CODA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
What does the stat line look like? Last year, he stunk.
I mean, amazing. He's still great.
Okay, second lowest BABIP at .224, but he still hit 28 homers in 92 games. Is he still statistically up there, or do those games also affect where his stats are way lower than they've been?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Is cooking.
No, see, I think if it was going to affect his stats, he would play more games, right? Like he would play 120 And then his numbers will look crappy because he was real hurt for 40 of them. He doesn't play through stuff. We know that. And the Twins don't want him to either. They baby him. And got enough injured guys on this roster. Got Kirilloff and Carlos Correa on this roster too. Jesus. Come on. So, yeah, I mean, if he's hurt, he doesn't play. So I'm sure his stat line will still be great. He's a great player. I'd never take anything away from him as a player. He's awesome. Can't say on the field. It's, unfortunate.
All right, so this is, I didn't say the mean. You're doing mean predictions here. So your mean bold prediction,
negative.
It's a negative prediction. Yeah, but like he has also done that for five straight seasons. There are four just real seasons technically. So
Just reminding just everybody.
My first negative is Dylan Cease with the Chicago White Sox is the third best fantasy pitcher in that rotation. He is going way higher than the others. Giolito finishes as the number one. Lance Lynn finishes as the number one. Dylan Cease does not. I do think there's a path where they're all still top 100 guys. I do think Lynn and Giolito push inside the top 100, but I think Giolito is hands down the number one. Lynn is going to push into number two. And I think Dylan Cease's struggles, some of the big blowups, the walks that are out there, he's still going to get huge strikeout games, but I just don't know if he's going to maintain it. Plus, he had one of the biggest differentials between ERA and xFIP. And I think that ERA can push into really into closer to the fours. So I think Dylan Cease, third fantasy pitcher on the White Sox, is my negative old prediction.
I mean, this is pretty negative. I'm still going to have Cease as my number one pitcher for the White Sox, right? But the confidence with which you said Lucas Giolito is going to be better than him kind of baffles me a little bit, because Lucas Giolito is either the best pitcher in baseball or the worst starter in baseball.
Yeah,
like, there's no in between for him. It's insane.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like the fantasy analyst we were talking 4.9? About. It's just, it's extremes. And the big massive weight loss, the alteration of he altered the way he pitched this past season and that didn't work out super well. And there's also a bad track record of
meets. Well, he also had a giant difference between his xFIP. He was like 4.9 ERA and 3.9 xFIP. His xFIP might have been better than Cease's.
We also have to think about the track record of guys that I take pictures with and them failing. The only guy that broke
very
that curse
important
was
part of this. Absolutely.
Well, the only guy that broke this curse was Julio. And last year I took a picture with Giolito and Lynn, and then they both blew up. I did take a picture with Giolito again, so I don't know if this is going to have broken or not. But
so, just checking Sierra xFIP for Cease, it was 3.48, 3.50, and then Giolito is, where the hell do I have Giolito? There he is.
Well,
3.79, 3.66. So they're very close. So
and he was trash last year. Those underlying like Sierra xFIP, he was trash last year, and it still held through. I really think with the weight loss and the altering, going back to driveline and changing how his approach and throwing is a positive here. I think those are all big positives for him to recoup. Also had a really nice start in spring this past one. I don't care about Cease getting blown the hell up the other day in spring. It's not really about that. It's just some of the inconsistencies of I'm just not convinced he's going to be able to maintain it. Those big blowups are going to inflate the ERA. He will not have an inside the three ERA. The strikeouts are the thing that hold him though. But I wouldn't be surprised if the wins kind of fall apart as well. I'm not a big White Sox guy. I'm kind of down on like Robert and Anderson and stuff like that as well. So I just don't know. And he's already banged up.
Cease's ERA is 11.7 in spring. So his whip's over two. So I get it. But I mean, nothing matters once opening day hits.
No, no.
So
these guys are working on stuff. But that's my first negative bold prediction. All right. Number two for you, Boggs. Negative bold prediction.
All right, so I'm going to throw this out here, see how you like it. Schwarber equals Rowdy Tellez, meaning that I think that they could easily finish very close to each other. Because
is this a Rowdy Tellez positive or a Kyle Schwarber negative?
Kind of both. Like, I think the peak for both these guys is about the same, but I think the bottom out is about the same for them both, too. I mean, Schwarber had all the stolen bases last year. He had 12 in his career going into last year. Maybe he steals again, but I don't think you can count those as there. You know, I don't think you can count steals. I think the looking at the projections, everybody's given him like 5 or 6. I was like, I don't know, man, just based on just last year, that's crazy. Because like I said, over the previous run of his career, he had 12. So his batting average is bad. His XBA, decent. Rowdy Tellez, hit real low. His XBA was decent. I just think they're kind of the same guy, and you can get Tellez 100 picks later or whatever it is. It's crazy. So to me, I think we have the same type of player. Obviously, Schwarber has higher upside in terms of power, probably higher than anyone that's not Judge is Schwarber. But I think Tellez could be in that category right below Schwarber in that. So I think they're pretty similar, and Tellez is going much, much later. So I would rather have just in drafting stuff, I'd rather take Tellez later than take Schwarber early. So
wow, anti-Schwarber talk here. Plus, I mean, that bomb he hit off Darvish was absurd. That bomb that he hit, but, you know, that's what it is. That's Schwarber's game.
Did,
that's
did
what
it win?
Is. Yeah, it sure didn't.
Was it the sure winner?
Didn't. Would have been cool if there were guys on base. Runners in scoring position, I believe they were 0 for everything. So, and they're 0 for WBC championships.
Yeah, we're still mad about it. So,
my number two is an attack. This is the one I thought Bogman saw, and then he immediately put Buxton on here. Was Adolis Garcia is less valuable than Lars Nootbaar in fantasy by hitting just 220 and fails to reach 20 homer stolen bases. He does not get that marker. Obviously can still maintain some value if he ends up being like an 18 homer, 17 stolen base guy. But the batting average is going to fail, and he will be outperformed by Lars Nootbaar. I struggled with this, but I remembered, hey, this is bold predictions. Let's attach some fun stuff in here, and let's make myself super vulnerable, as Lars Nootbaar pretty much did nothing in the WBC, especially the last couple games, except win a trophy. But I am still attached to it, and that is where I'm going to go. And he doesn't steal the bases that Garcia does, but I've really kind of been vocal about Garcia being a mirage, and that is my bold prediction, Bog. So what do you think? I know you don't like it.
I mean, I hate it, so yeah. don't have to spend a lot of time on it. I don't think in any world Lars Nootbaar is close to Adolis Garcia, but we'll see. Look, Adolis is his hit, his hit tool is not the best. I understand that, but he's got it done 2 years in a row, so I'll go on track records. XBA is bad. It's not great, but it's not like Lars Nootbaar crushed the ball last year. He had 212.
No, that's true. I hate about doing this one too with Adolis and attacking is like, I just think that Ranger team is going to be really good. And they're
a cleanup hitter.
And they're a tough division. They're just a tough division just kind of in general for them to crack. And I probably wouldn't place any bets on them taking the division, but I probably should go look and see what their win total is, because I think they're sneaky good. And if they're going to be even sneakier, he's got to be a part of it. Just don't know if he's going to be a super consistent part of it overall. And
I mean, this definitely fits the bold section.
Yeah.
So,
negative.
Yeah. Well, I don't think anyone's going to hold your feet to the flame on it. You know, I will most of the season. Adolis is crushing it and Lars is doing nothing. You will totally absolutely hear from me and my lawyers. But yes, I absolutely.
Yeah. I would actually ask you, if Adolis is doing good, do that. But save me on Lars Nootbaar, because everybody else will let me know. Everybody else is going to.
Oh, for
when
sure.
Lars struggles,
yeah.
Everybody else is going to let me know. Carroll and Lars Nootbaar, I fully expect. And Jeffrey Springs, those three, anytime they struggle, I will be.
Look, I'm not going to watch people bully you on Twitter and then come in here and be like,
yeah,
well, let's have some more of this. Come on.
I'm going to be warming up that mute button real big. So just get ready. If you guys don't hear from me a whole bunch, it's because you're going to get muted if you're going to be mean. But I was being mean to Dulce Garcia, so he can mute me. All right, that was my number two. Your number three negative bold prediction.
I say Arise hits fewer than 10 homers again this year, which is not, I don't think,
that's
any projection
bold
system. No, but I'm going to say he hits under 280 while he's doing it this year. So, which would be, it would lose him all of his fantasy.
Completely
value.
Fantasy irrelevant. Yeah. That's actually your bold prediction you should put, is he becomes completely fantasy irrelevant.
I mean, that's basically what I'm saying, but like his XBA was 290, which was still in the highest, 5% or whatever. Last season, but also we've seen this many times, and it should be less from him because he's one of the best hitters in the game. But guys switching leagues, sometimes it takes them a little bit to adjust when they go from the AL to the NL or NL to the AL. So I think we might get a little bit of that this year as well. So early struggles, it doesn't take much for a guy with no power to lose his value, and that's what we could see this year with him. I know he just hit two homers in one game, which is kind of crazy because he hit like eight homers all year last year. Different situation. It wasn't his home ballpark too, which kind of made me nervous about this one, but I don't know, man. I don't think he's got much outside of the batting average, and if that goes, he's nothing. So I will not be touching Luis Arise this year.
Yeah, I've said I don't have to do with him. Like, it looks like there's so much that works in his favor, but he just doesn't do anything with anything. It's just, it's like no homers, no stolen bases, no RBI. It's just
take him and he won't hurt you. Like, you're not getting anything.
Well, he does
from
hurt you though.
But I don't know. He hurts you less. He hurts you less than a Roto. He hurts you more in a head to head. Yeah,
he does. His points league is fun because he just gets lots of hits and stuff like that. But yeah, I just don't know what to do with him. All right, my number three. This, I think, my weakest one, because I didn't know how crazy to go, and I feel like this might be the most vulnerable one of all of them. But Stephen Kwan fails to be a top 150 fantasy player and has less than 20 homer/stolen bases Ooh. Combined. Now, he was kind of like a Luis Arraez guy in the minor leagues. No big stolen base, no big homer totals. What worries me is if he is a huge beneficiary of these stolen base numbers. I think Andrés Giménez is going to be to the races. And Kwan gets on base a whole bunch. I'm not ignoring that. He's going to get on base. He's a good points league guy. I don't believe in the power, and that wasn't really a thing last year, but the stolen bases kind of came out of nowhere. I don't believe him. I don't believe that those are going to go, even though we are staring ourselves in the face of like this uptick in stolen bases. So I'm acknowledging that if the stolen bases are real, I'm going to be dead wrong about this. But he's not a force on RBIs. He is a decent runs guy because he's going to hit the top of the lineup. But the homers just, I don't think, are going to uptick at all. And I think the stolen bases are going to retract. And he's going to fail to combine for 20 homer stolen bases. And that's just going to put him outside the top 150, where he's going firmly inside the top 100. He's just not a target for me. So Stephen Kwan, a fail.
I'm not a Stephen Kwan guy, so I can get behind that one. I mean, 20 homers and stolen bases combined, might be a little low.
I mean, he didn't really do a whole bunch more than that this past year. I think it was 19 stolen bases and 6 homers, so he did get to, I might be a couple off. I got like 23, 24. I don't even know if I'm being that bold here. Let me look here.
Yeah, I don't know, though, but if he plays a whole year, he should have 25 stolen bases because of the new rules. Like, just add a little. You're adding a quarter at that point. You're not adding, you know, half like John Smoltz said on the stupid broadcast.
My problem with him was his entire minor league career combined, he had 20 stolen bases, and then he stole 19 this past year. Maybe it is going to be full on part of his game.
That's what I said with Schwarber. Yeah,
that team likes to run, so I don't want to say that it's not going to be a possibility. And if he starts running again, I'll just be wrong about this. But I just think there's a lot of holes as far as fantasy goes. There's just a lot of things that Kwan can do to hurt you really easy with the investment you have. And I've kind of targeted him as a fail, so I, you know, created a negative bold prediction around him. All right, you're number four. Actually, I was going to put this guy in here as well, but I've kind of chilled out with my negativity.
Darden Varsho hits lower than 230, and it's not that surprising. He hit 235 last season, although his XBA was better. But
hey, Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
You're switching leagues again. You know, this is another guy. And look, is he going to steal this many bases with Toronto? Like, Toronto just stole fewer bases last year. They don't need to because they have all those boppers in their lineup. So if he's hitting below 230 and he's not stealing these bases, should he be our number two catcher? You know, the more I dig in on it, the less I like Varsho. So I do think I'm going to make the change and pump Will Smith up ahead of him. But
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
How would you like to manage
in this league
this year?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? This is a chance to manage in the big leagues.
Let me think it over, will you?
Scott Bogman.
I got
Chris Welsh.
The other line about some white walls. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, I don't know. I just see a lot of downside in Varsho's game. You know, not trying to be a hater or anything. I know the Diamondbacks traded him. But yeah, it's just not my favorite guy, and I will not be rostering, especially with their deals at the end of catcher anyway. We're trying not to play in two catcher leagues. So
yeah, I try. I don't like the NFBC stuff really pushed him up. The lefty splits are worrisome. I don't think he's going to run as much in Toronto. Homers might be a little bit more difficult to come by. Just all those things combined, it just feel like it's going to be really hard for him to be able to repeat his value. So I am with you on that one. My number four is actually staying with the same team. It's Alek Manoah. And Alek Manoah's ERA balloons to 4, and he fails to have more wins than losses. And one of the things about that as well, I could have just made it more fantasy-centric, that he was similar to like Cease with a bigger inflated xFIP and expected Sierra over his actual ERA, but he also is like a really low strikeout guy. He had a pretty high left on base percentage that I don't think is going to continue. And there have been some little struggles here and there that, like, I just don't think he's the dominant pitcher that a lot of us are looking at. So in reality, my brain, this is probably like a 3.5 ERA, but to go bold, I'm going to say it's going to touch 4, and that he is going to have, you know, probably 10 wins, 12 losses, something like that. So that's attached to my bold prediction, which really is going to push him down the fantasy spectrum of starting pitchers. I am a little bit anti Alek Manoah. Sorry, Toronto fans. I've picked on a few of those guys. So
Alek Manoah, yeah, 4. And I just said Varsho, but Alek Manoah, not a guy that lost a bunch of weight in the offseason, right? My last one here is Lodolo and Green win less than half of their quality starts. Now you may go, okay, well, you know, a lot of guys do that. They don't. Out of 79 pitchers with 10 quality starts last year, 6 won fewer than half of their quality starts. So those guys last season were Musgrove at 21 qualities, 10 wins, Cueto 18-8, Luis Castillo, who spent half of his season with the Reds, 17-8, Mitch Keller 13-5, Pirates, and then Lizardo and Dunning. So not the best teams that you bring up here, but I was looking at this lineup and I was like, how do I crap on the Reds? And this is the way to do it. I don't know that I've seen a worse lineup than this. Look at the Reds lineup right now. I want you to name them.
I'm going to be able to name them, but go ahead.
Who's leading off?
Is it Friedel?
India.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.